praise. But bless your name. You excite us.
Yes.
You excite us. Your presence is one of the most dangerous places to be in. We are there and eternity makes sense. Whenever we are in your presence, we don't want to leave. Your presence brings eternity alive. It brings the idea of eternity, makes it real and possible. Thank you for in your presence is the idea of foreverness. It's the idea of forever, your presence. And we're so excited that forever has already started. What an amazing and a great God that you are. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making such a huge impression on our hearts and our spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for you are different. We give you praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah, guys. Praise God. Amen. Taylor, say thank you for leading us in music. That was awesome.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. We didn't want to leave. Yeah, good. Happy to see everyone. Sorry we took a little time. We had a mini service before we came up online. So happy to see everyone. Happy to see everyone in the house. Everybody's looking gorgeous. Lions on pink hair. Fumi has gray hair. Green hair. TY. Baba hair. In a funny way. Dupe is on. Dupe is the one leading. I'm telling you, he's the one leading. Stuffing the church. You need to see my daughter. She's looking all gorgeous. And everybody's just excited. The morale here is high. It's high. And yesterday we had Totally Grounded. It was good. So go to Facebook. Go search for Totally Grounded on Facebook. And then something has started. Something huge has started. You know, sometime last week, the Lord told me that, 2 weeks ago, God told me that this old virus stuff is a distraction. You know, He told me it's over. He told me it's over first week in April.
Wow.
Since first week in April, yeah. Then, 2 weeks ago, He told me that it's now becoming a distraction for the church. You know, and that a revival is already ongoing. And we have to participate in the revival. We have to receive of it and participate in it. And so since then, I have been going to church every day to pray, you know, because I'm a Christian before I became a pastor. So I'm just responding as a child of God. So I've been going to church to pray, you know, because one of the key ingredients of a revival is people praying and studying the word together. It's an eternal ingredient of a revival. So that's by the way, not by the way, that's quite important. So I'm so excited to see everyone. Eki, you just joined us. Happy to see you, Eki. Eki, you did a fantastic job with Amy, all of you guys. You were amazing yesterday. Ayoba and Jim, Ma Banwoku. It's nice to have you here. Yes, you can never be stranded. So see, how did that song come back? I think it was Lulu that wrote that song. Yeah, it was amazing. And you made me remember there's a mark already on me. Hi, Tosin. How's your apostle doing? Hope you're taking good care of him. BC, I'm happy to see you. Sophia, how are you doing? Annie, God bless you. Just say hi. Someone say hi for like, let's say hello in 1 minute. It's all fellowship. It has to be fellowship. We have to make the best of this. Gabs, how are you doing, Gabriel? Jem, Fumi. It's always nice to have you here. You're always online with us. And thank you for just receiving and enjoying yourself here. It's just amazing. Paul. Paul Olatunji. All right, for me. Yeah, red card. Leave. Go to the room. Olatunji, Paul. God bless you. Kenny. I'm so happy to see everybody. Annie, blessing. You're blessed. Hey, Ileri, what's good? All right. Isaac, you here? Good. Nice to Nice to have you here, Isaac. TJ, what's up? So everybody just go ahead and host a watch party. Host a watch party. Put the link on your WhatsApp status and call somebody, invite someone. Yeah, TJ, it's always good to have you. Always, always good. You're such an amazing sister. Anjola Luwaraji, nice. Sozoni Adelami, nice. Adeosi Bumi, Isaac, how's you doing? How's your beautiful wife? God's boy Lebari, nice to have you again. Supero Jimon Damilola. Hey, Tunde Maji, what's good? Sasere, the wisest woman in the world. She got married before the lockdown. Who is wiser than you? Solomon is licking your dust. Hi, Inem. What's up? Dupe, I'm still fighting you. All right. Raimi Asan, how's you doing? Okay, so let's go straight into the word. Let's go into the word. And today we'll be talking about oil everywhere. Oil everywhere. Talking about oil everywhere. The oil of God everywhere. The anointing everywhere. You know, one of the tools in church that we use to heal the sick is oil. He said, is anybody sick amongst you? He said, let him get the elders. He said, and the elders should pray. And if the guy has any sin, we'll forgive him. And they should anoint him with oil. Glory be to God. It's not Goya oil. It's the anointing that is Christ Jesus. I want someone to say, the anointing that is Christ Jesus. That's it. The anointing that is Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you because your spirit is here. And we already know that there is a move of the spirit going on all across the face of the earth. As I look into your word, let your word come alive. And let it ignite the spirit of your sons and your daughters. And if there's anyone who's not saved, let them see you. Nobody sees you and wants to run away from you. You are the most beautiful reality. And let them see you and embrace you. And if there's anyone who's sick in our midst, sick online, they shall be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. And this atmosphere is charged by the power of the Spirit in Jesus' name. And the people say, big amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so today we'll be talking about the oil, you know. And by the oil, I mean the anointing. And to let you know that you carry it in such a profound way. And that to let you know that this anointing will find expression in every area of your life. I said the anointing will find expression in every area of your life. Now, quickly, let's look at the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start from verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start from verse 24. Let's pick it from, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 20. If you're there, say, I'm there, Pastor. Are you sure? Because you're not there. Oh, it's on the screen. You guys are cheating. And it'll be awkward for me to turn, right? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20. Yeah. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of what? Of this world. Now, if the wisdom of this world is foolish, it means that the wisdom of this world is not dependable. Am I correct? If the wisdom of this world is foolish, it means the wisdom of this world is not what? It's not dependable. Are we together here? It means that the wisdom of this world cannot see you through. Are we together here? The wisdom of this world cannot what? See you through.
And that's why in Christ we have access to another dimension of wisdom. Are you together with me? Wisdom of this world cannot see you through. Now, if messing is the wisdom of this world, right? Yes. But have we not seen many cases where someone goes to the doctor and they do all the tests? And what do they say? There is nothing wrong. And the guy knows that everything is wrong, right? Yes. Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? All right, let's read. Next verse. For after that, in the wisdom of God, for after that, what version am I using? Okay, KJV. I'm sorry. I'm going to the scripture that talks about how my Bible is messing me up. How Jesus has become the wisdom and the power of God. That's verse what? That what verse is that? That's verse 30. No, it's not verse 30. All right, let's keep reading. For after that, in the wisdom of the world, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. What verse are we now? 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, what? Foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is what? The power and what? And the wisdom of. The power and what? And the wisdom of God. Who is Christ? He is the power of God. And what? He's the wisdom of God. Now, if you remember the scripture I was trying to teach us in Mark chapter, is it 6? You don't have to go there. Last week, thereabout. We looked at how Christ engaged, express the power and what? And the wisdom of God. Are you together with me? Now, why are we bringing up this scripture? Because Christ, the meaning of Christ is the anointed one. Are you together with me? So in the New Testament, when we're talking about the anointing, we're talking about Christ. And the anointing who is Christ is expressed in two formats. In what? And what are the two formats? In wisdom and what? In power. Are you with me? So the anointing. So let's, where we see Christ now, let's put the anointing. Is that okay? But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, the anointing is what? Is the power of God. The anointing is also what? Is the wisdom of God. So a man who has Christ has access to what? To the power of God and what? And to the wisdom of God. I wish somebody would shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you have access to the wisdom of God. And you also have access to what? To the power of God. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
I said glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
And so the song begins to make sense when it says you can never be stranded. It says, you place my hands upon my head, I can never be stranded. Why? Because I have access to what? To the power of God and what? And to the wisdom of God. If the problem needs power to solve it, we have power. And if it needs wisdom, we have what? Access to wisdom. Glory be to God. Do you believe this?
Yes, sir.
Now, let's now read the popular scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We can start from verse 15. I'm enjoying this. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trusting God that the consciousness of this message will dawn on you. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. My phone, the Bible on my phone, is behaving like the Antichrist. It's beefing to this Bible study. Are we there? If you are there, say a big amen.
Amen.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Where are you? Okay, start from verse 15. Start from verse 15. And that he died for all. That they which live should henceforth live. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after what the flesh. Can you repeat that? Say, I know no man after the flesh.
I know no man after the flesh.
Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet not now henceforth know him no more. Now, what does it mean? Know we no man after the flesh. It means that when a man comes to Christ, he is completely different from who he used to be before. Are you together with me? Now, not just difference in character, but difference in product. Are you together with me? Your salvation experience is not an improvement of your former life. Because the preceding verse spoke about how he died for us. So it was the former one crashed and a new product was released entirely. Do you understand that? So you become a completely new product. And now let's look at the quality of this product. If any man be in Christ. Are you together with me? So this product is in another class called what? In Christ. What does Christ represent? The anointing. So the anointing is not just what is upon you. The anointing is where you reside. So the anointing is now your address. Now, when you came to this world, you were in your mother's womb. But when you got born again, you are in Christ. And you were born into Christ. It's a mystery. Christ in you and you in Christ. So you were born in Christ and then you entered into Christ again. It's a complete mystery. Are you with me? That if you come with outside me is Christ. Inside me is Christ. So your protection is not just about what is inside. Even outside is in Christ. The Bible talks about how Christ is hid in God and you what in Christ. Do you understand that? Christ is hid in God. Christ is inside God. And you are where? Inside Christ. So the first layer is who? Is God. The second layer is what? Is Christ. Then the third layer is what? Is you. So you are more protected than God. You don't get that. That's a very foolish statement. A very powerful foolish statement. You see, because if any bad thing is going to happen, it will happen to God first. Christ in God and you in Christ. So if it's going to happen, so it means that what the enemy can do is to get you outside Christ. Are you together with me? That to attack you spiritually, he's wise enough not to attack you. What he does to you is that he takes you out of Christ. And the way he can do it is for you to lack understanding. If you lack understanding of who you are and where you are. Am I making sense here now?
Yes, sir.
You know, there are some places you go to, you can't foment trouble. You get to the barracks, you are calm. And if you are behaving somehow, people ask you, do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? Praise God. May that arrogance hit you in the name of Jesus. May you ask stupidity and madness that the enemy brings your way. May you be bold enough to ask him, do you know where you are? Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Am I making sense here?
Yes, sir.
So if any man be in Christ, if he's in the anointing, then this kind of man is a new creature. It's not just a better guy. It's a what? He's a completely new creature. A brand new creature. Now, liar, a brand new creature is not even perfect. You see, you can have an old phone and a brand new phone. They are still the same creature. It's about having a phone, then now getting an aeroplane. Or from a phone, you now get, maybe someone gives you a phone, then after a while, you now drop it and somebody gives you the gift of a moon. You now own the moon. It's not just brand new as far. Something was old, another new one now came. It's that a completely different thing. Am I making sense here now?
Yes, sir.
These are the things some of us know that they can't press us at night. They are pressing. You know, I hear a lot of things happening to Christians. They are very strange. They press you and all of that. And God is not going to release another anointing, another power. Yeah. You have to know who you are.
Yes.
Praise God. If cockroach is chasing a human being, what will we do to the? Are we going to give the human being a gun? A human being always running after cockroach. Are we going to do a meeting and say, what can we do? He needs weapon, he needs this thing. We slap him to reset.
Yeah.
Are you together with me? You do what? You slap him to reset. Glory be to God. You have the anointing. You have access to the wisdom and what? And the power of God. I wish somebody can say, I have access to the wisdom and the power of God. All things are passed away. Your experiences change. Do you know that? I was reading, while preparing for this message, I was reading a particular time, just as I was casting out a demon. And the demons were calling him Christ and all of that. And he told them to keep quiet so that people would not know. And the Bible said, for they knew that he was the Christ. It means that the demons know anyone who carries the anointing. If they can know that Jesus is the Christ, then they also know you also are in the Christ. Now, you are not the Christ, but you are where? In Christ. Glory be to God. So, if a demon knew that Jesus, am I making sense now? I just pray that this week, God will bring a demonic case your way so that you can exercise these things. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm just trusting God that katakata will happen around you.
Yeah.
That's my prayer for you this week. That this week, Satan will manifest around you.
Yeah.
So that you can test.
Yes.
Test. You test it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
He said they knew he was the Christ. So if they knew that he was the Christ and you are in the same identity, it means that there is no time you get to any place that the demon does not know that you have come. I'm telling you the truth. If you got born again today, that same second, anywhere you enter, the demons know you have entered. But guess what? You don't know that they know that you have entered. In fact, when you hear that they know, you are afraid. That's why you don't enter a place and say, Peter, in the name of Peter, that in the name of Jesus that Peter preaches. No, you enter as yourself. You don't need, because Peter also entered in Christ. So you can't enter in Peter, but you can enter in Christ. You can't be casting out the demon and say, in the name of Pastor Zach, in the name of Jesus that Pastor Zach preaches. No, you are qualified.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Are you with me, friends?
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to this?
Yes, sir.
You're qualified. We can't be blowing grammar and the enemies are harassing us. Some Christians are still locked down. Listen, there is no sickness in your body that this revelation will not break the back. Sickness is real. Sickness is a real person. It's a demon. I don't care what the doctors say, it is a demon. By the time you show that sickness Christ, it runs away. Let me tell you what Christ does. You see, Christ, the anointing, by him all things were made. Do you understand that? And there is nothing that exists except through him, except by him. So Christ is the wisdom behind creation. Are you together with me? So don't miss this. So, you know, an architect will have, what do they call it? When they want to build. A plan, a building plan. So Christ is the building plan for creation. So creation is a reflection of Christ. Now, the fall caused disorder. Are you together with me? But Christ created, Christ is the plan. So he's not just the plan, he's also the power. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
He's the plan and he's the builder. Glory be to God.
So anytime you release Christ to situations, they go back to the original plan. So if you have sickness in your body, if you show this, if you release Christ to the sickness, sickness runs away because the body ought not to be sick. So life arranges itself at the revelation of Christ. How did God create? Let there be light, right? It was the release of the word that brought forth creation. And so that's why they were shocked when he said to the wind, peace be still. They said the wind also hear him. Why does the wind hear him? Because he's the wisdom for wind and is the power for wind. So the wind has to behave itself when Christ shows up. So anytime Christ shows up, life behaves.
Life behaves.
Hear this, friends. You can cause your life to behave itself. Don't allow your life run the way it wants. What's wrong with you? The power of creation is where you live in. Don't permit life. Listen. If anything, if your life is destroyed, God has no hand in it. It's not that God didn't answer your prayers. There's no prayer to be answered. Because the prayers has been answered in Christ. You need to now declare and release him. Because your life can never be better than your revelation. We'll get there. And what I'm bringing to you is because some of us are contented with Satan. With the works of Satan in our lives. Are you with me? You are contented with your experience. You had a bad experience growing up. No father, no mother. Fine. Now you're not born again. The name, one of his nicknames of your God is Father. That's his name. If you call him Father, you have called his name. No, you can't argue that you don't have father. You don't have mother. You were molested. So what kind of molestation are you talking about? We're talking of someone who cannot just heal your past. He can erase it. That's one of the first revelations I had when I gave my life to God. I was 18 years old. I was sleeping. I was about waking up and I heard the voice of God jack me up. He said, I can erase past and I can cleanse sin. I'm the sin cleanser and past eraser. Listen, your complaints, can I say this?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Your complaints about your past are not even, hear me, those legitimate past issues you've had, those complaints about your, when you are in Christ, the complaints about your past are not even registered in heaven's record. So when you are telling God what happened to you in the past, God is saying when? Your past happened. Your past started. When you get born again, Christ has become your past. He becomes your present. He becomes your future. So we can't lay hold on. If a man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have all passed away. Your past has died. That is the power that is in Christ. Am I together with you here? I said, your life must behave itself. Are you listening to me? Let somebody tell his life, you have to behave yourself. You have to behave yourself. Tell yourself, you have to behave yourself. See. Listen. I am not at the mercy of any situation.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. I know how my life will end. Are you listening to me here? It's going to end according to the wisdom and the power of God. In the end of the story of my life, what you will see is wisdom and power. That's it. There's no guesswork. See why? No guesswork. Your life will end according to what? In the order of what? The power and the, when they're documenting your life, they will document power issues and wisdom issues. That's what it is. Pazak, what if I fail? What are you talking about failure? We're talking about someone who can erase past. We're talking about failure. If you fail, the blood will erase it. Am I together with you? That's why the scripture is not. If you were the one to write, if I was God to write the Bible, I will not write the stories of the failures of men so that the Bible can look holy. But we see a David. That kid. That David is the worst. You see, I don't know what God would tell me, but that's the worst guy. He collected somebody's wife and killed the guy. I don't understand how God can handle it. A giddy guy. But guess what? He engaged Christ. And the blood of Jesus, the power of God dealt with it, settled it. And this guy is still the Jesus was still able to come to his lineage. Am I making sense here now? There is nobody that believes in Christ that is ever put to shame. Glory be to God. Am I preaching here? I said, am I preaching here? Is your life going to end as a fluke? Is it fluke? Is it a guesswork?
No.
Is your life a guesswork?
No.
Are you sure about your life? I said, are you sure? Respond like you are sure about life.
Sure.
Listen, if you are not sure about your life and you die and go to heaven, you will beg God to come back. Because you will find out that you actually had no limitation. The book of Ezekiel, Romans, Paul put it this way. He said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And he mentioned death. He said, nothing can separate us from Christ. Nothing. Are you with me? Nothing. He mentioned death. Give me that scripture. And let's see the things he mentioned. He said, nothing can separate us. Somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
And that's why I like it. I can never, ever be what? Be stranded. Because you don't know. Listen, Bao, let me explain this to you. You being stranded is an insult on heaven. That you are stranded. You are in heaven. Now, let's imagine this. You go and meet God. What can I do? And God, with the innumerable company of angels, say, there's nothing that can be done. No, I'm a babe, no, no. Do you ever think God can have those kind of conversations? Never. So, you cannot be engaging the anointing. And your life will not have a powerful headway. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Nothing. That's Romans chapter 8, 35. I want us to read all those many things he mentioned. Let's start from what can separate us. Let's start from 31. 31 is sweet. Beautiful. What shall we then say to these things? Can you hear this? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who has an answer to that? Who can be against you?
Nobody.
Do you really believe these things, my friends? Nothing can be against you. Can the economy of Nigeria be against you? Can the witches in your village be against you?
Nobody.
Praise God. And what is the secret? If God be for me, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? Somebody say with him. Why is it with him? Because you are in Christ. Also will freely give us what? Can you scream freely? You know why you have to scream freely? Because when Satan understands that you know the identity, you know you are in Christ, the next thing he comes to attack you with is, do you deserve it? So he says, yes, God can do it, but have you prayed enough? Have you fasted enough? These things, Pastor Zach is talking, he tries to make it, okay, you need to do your own, walk your own path, your own push part. You know, he just begins to lie to you. I say, you need to fast, these things, you need to fast. But somebody shout freely.
Free.
So what does that mean? I will fast, I will pray, but that's not why I'm receiving.
Yes.
The cost of it is freely.
Yes.
So I'm not fasting and praying to receive. I'm fasting and praying to understand. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that what? Justified. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who has made intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shout, if I'm mentioning those things, please give me a response. Shout tribulation.
No.
Distress.
No.
Persecution.
No.
Famine.
No.
Nakedness.
No.
Peril.
No.
Sword.
No.
Can we do that again?
Yeah.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shout tribulation.
No.
Distress.
No.
Persecution.
No.
Famine.
No.
Peril.
No.
Sword.
No.
COVID-19.
No.
Nigerian economy.
No.
Nigerian politicians.
No.
Your education.
No.
Your certificate.
No.
What shall separate you from the love of Christ?
No.
Absolutely nothing. 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 As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things. In all these things. There is more. In all these things. I said there is more. So Pastor Zach, what do I do about all these things I've gone through? You make the next statement. Don't conclude from your circumstance and experience. So Pastor Zach, I've gone through tribulations. I've gone through persecution, all of that. In all those things, you can still rise up because there is more. Because your circumstance is not a verdict.
Yes.
It's a pass-through experience.
Yes.
I wish somebody would say, my circumstance is not a verdict.
My circumstance
is not a verdict.
Yes.
You have not gone through anything negative that is a verdict.
Yes.
Your verdict is Christ.
Yes.
Nobody justifies you but Christ.
Yes.
No experience puts a verdict on you. There is no experience you go through in life that is a verdict. It's not a verdict. Your experience is not judgment.
Yes.
It's a pass-through. And that's why you are more than a conqueror. Your experience is not a verdict. Your lack is not a verdict. Your lack of education is not a verdict. Your best of education is not a verdict. No charge can be placed against you. Nobody can conclude concerning your life, for it is God that justifies. And guess what? He does not ask for anybody's opinion. Nobody's opinion. Listen, I'm your pastor, for some of you, I'm your spiritual parent. God don't ask for my opinion when he releases a verdict over you. He doesn't ask me what I think. He doesn't ask anybody what anybody thinks. Listen, there is nobody God went to ask if he can bless you or not.
Ooh.
Are you together with me? It was concluded on the cross.
Yeah.
On the cross of Calvary. He said, if I did not spare Jesus, if I release Jesus to the earth, then there is nothing I cannot give you through Christ. Am I making sense? No verdict. No verdict.
No
verdict. Your tribulation is no verdict. Your distress is not a verdict. It's your persecution. It's not a verdict. So don't accrue anything negative to God's judgment.
Yes.
The judgment of God is Christ. God already judged you. And he judged you through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all his thoughts towards you are in the directions of resurrection. That's why he said, who died? He said, it's Christ. He said, rather, who resurrected? Because the conversation about your life is in the order of Jesus' resurrection. And so there is no judgment of God over your life. There is no child of God going through judgment. There is no child of God that God is trying to destroy. Everything he's trying to do is to get you to prosper in the order of resurrection. My thoughts towards you are good. It can never be evil. Hallelujah. In all these things, why are we more than conquerors? We are more than conquerors because we are a people who do not compete and yet have victory. You see, because a conqueror gets victory after conquest. But we are more than conquerors because we have victory without what? Without battle. Do you understand? So we are not waiting to win to conquer. Our victory is in Christ. So whatever happens to us, so my experience cannot be a proof of either my defeat or my success. So if Satan has done anything or circumstances has done anything, it is not a verdict. Because I got my verdict before my issues. Are you together with me? And my life is ending in the order of resurrection. I am persuaded. I wish somebody can scream, I am persuaded.
I am persuaded.
Are you persuaded by the things I'm saying to you?
Yes.
Are you persuaded by the word of God? Yes. Can you shout, I am persuaded.
I am persuaded.
You know, Bawale, you know, I just see you're having a major experience right now. I'm telling the truth. Go and write to this dude. You're having a major experience. The revelation of God's word is being born in your heart. You will never be able to think lesser than this anymore.
Yes.
And your life is entering a major shift.
Yeah.
And the shift is a shift where you are beginning to come into the kingly anointing.
Yeah.
And you are going to have kingly experiences.
Yeah.
It means that you are going to have, you are coming into kingly experiences.
Yeah.
It means that you are entering into the order of dominion. You are going to dominate. You are coming to dominion. You are coming to the next 5 and 10 years. Will be the order of you will dominate. In the next 5 years, you are going to have victories. Hear me? I prophesy over your life. In the next 5 years, you are going to have, in the next 5 years, as the Lord lives and as you believe this world, you are going to have victories you've never had in your life.
Yeah.
That's the calendar of God over your life. It is time for you to have victories. You are going to, the power of God will be loud in your life.
Yeah.
You see, this thing will be so strong, it will even change your face, even your physical face. In the next 5 years, you will laugh at how you will look physically because God is giving you a complete turnaround. And after that 5 years, from that 5 years to another 10 years, you are coming into the kind of victory that men will want explanation for. It means that people will begin to ask, it means you become a consultant, a spiritual consultant where you will teach and share. Father, we give you the praise. So you are coming to 10 years of power. First 5 years will be for you. And after that, men will come and ask. Men will just, your life will be so attractive that they will ask for the secret. So shall it be. I am persuaded that neither death. Amen. So death itself is not even a verdict. Did you understand that? Even death is not a verdict. You know, Rabbi Zachariah died, has gone to be with the Lord. Guess what? It's not a verdict.
Yeah.
The man has been, he has never been less alive.
Yeah.
He has been alive since he gave his life to Christ. He just left his body. Death for us is not a verdict. Somebody said death is not a verdict.
Yeah, not a verdict.
Even natural life is not a verdict.
Yeah.
Are you together with me? Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Neither height nor depth. Now, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Where is it?
In Christ Jesus.
Where are you?
In Christ Jesus.
Nothing can separate you. I just wish I can get a shout of praise in the house. Come on. Glory. Praise God. Let me just give you some scriptures to enjoy. So the Bible now says, the Bible now tells us, because you are in Christ, it now says, in Him I live. So it means that just say you they live, what is being released? Anointing Christ. Say I just did a life now. So there is a fragrance. You know, the Bible talks about the fragrance of Christ that just flows everywhere around us. I think that scripture is the book of Corinthians about the fragrance of Christ. Amen. So just living. Say I just they live. Say I they breathe. How is it? In Christ. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
Have you seen the way a lion relax in the jungle? There's a way a lion relax in the jungle as if he's in a mansion. Why? Because he's a lion. Have you seen a lion in the jungle looking at his back? It is the other animals that look at their back, whether there's a lion. The lion does not go and drink water and it's checking. But the antelope will check. Listen, don't check. Friends, don't check. Don't check. Don't doubt. Hey, will I marry? Hey, will I have money? Don't check. Don't mess things up. Don't check. Be bold like a lion. The Bible says the righteous is as bold as a lion. Don't check. When you want to drink water, drink water. Mm-hmm. Amen. Nobody's chasing you. Nobody can chase you.
Yeah.
That you are living is in Christ. In Him. You understand that? So I'm living inside Him. In Him I live. Okay, if I now decide to move. Are you together with me? So be afraid. Be afraid. I'm just living is in Christ. If I now decide to move, is in Christ. That's how you should move. Move in Christ. And what? And have our being. It means that our whole essence, everything about me is in Christ. In Him I live, in Him I move, and in Him I have my being. Somebody say, in Christ I live.
In Christ I live.
Say, in Christ I move.
In Christ I move.
In Christ I have my being.
In Christ I have my being.
Depression falls off you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Sorrow dies in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Low self-esteem dies in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because we can't live in those things. We are to live in Christ. In Christ I live. If I just want to move, that's why I don't settle for less. In Him I move. In Him I also what? I have my being. Praise God. Can I give you another scripture? Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And what? And went about doing good. Now, you would think doing good is the miracles. No. He says, Acts 10:38, he went about doing good and... Amen.
Amen.
So there are different things. Doing good is one. What is the other thing he did? Healing and what? Healing all that were oppressed. So he went about doing good. So with the anointing, he was doing good. With the anointing, it was... So the anointing is not only for healing. So doing good, it means that anything Jesus is doing, anything he lays his hands on, the anointing is there. Do you understand? So all his conversations are anointed. Do you understand? So in him... Bible says he went about. So if Jesus is there, everything he does is good in the order of the anointing. So if I'm joking, that's what the Bible speaks about. Let your words be filled with grace. That I'm not only anointed when I'm praying. Anytime I'm talking, there is. If I'm joking, you won't fault my joke. All my joke is padded. Padded. All my jokes. You won't catch. I won't joke and you will see depression in my joke. I won't joke and make you have low self-esteem. Everything I do, there is Christ involved in it. If you see me pressing the laptop, you will feel like pressing the laptop. If you see me dance, you feel like that. Anything I do, that, you know, he said he went about doing good. And guess what? The definition of Jesus is good. It's not just normal good. He said they said good master. He said I'm not good.
Yeah.
He said what? He said God is good. It means that the signature of God was in everything he did. Are you together with me? So if Jesus comes to visit, it's just normal, it's not service, it's just visiting. You will just sense the power of God in it, the wisdom. So we are not a people that do things anyhow. We go about doing good. So the anointing, we don't need pulpit to release the anointing. Everything we do is anointed. Do you understand? Sometimes even our dressing is inspired. Oh my God. That we just look so gorgeous. We look the way God has imagined us. Are you together with me? Are you catching this thing? It's just flowing. It's a nature. We went about doing good. That's why if Jesus was eating, you just ask him, Rabbi, how can I eat? How can a man eat? You know that rich young ruler came to meet him and said, what can I do to have eternal life? He just went about anything Jesus does. Anything you do, brothers, you must do it with the consciousness of the anointing. You are not a fool. You are an anointed being. Everything you do. Your words fill with grace. You should not be... The man, Bible says that man that is spiritual cannot be judged by any other person. It means that there's no fault in you. You are in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
When you joke, your jokes are where? In Christ. When you counsel, your counsel are where? In Christ. When you are talking to the person that opened the door for you at the restaurant, is it what? Is in Christ. When you are angry, you are angry and you sin not. Are you together with me? In Christ, everything, there is government in your life, holy government. Oh my God, you can't access me and not access Christ. Even my mundane, I'm not making sense. He went about just being anointed. You are permitted to be anointed in everything. Everything you do. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? Praise God. And why is this impossible? First John explained to us. He spoke about, he said you have, that's First John chapter 1. Let me tell you how this thing works as I begin to round off. Are you blessed by this?
Yes, sir.
Are there anointed people in the house?
Yes, sir.
First John 2. He says, but ye have an unction. From who? The Holy One. And what? Ye know all things. That's how it works. Don't forget, the anointing is what? Is the wisdom and what? The power of God. So that's wisdom. So the unction gives you knowledge. But this is not just mental knowledge. This is accurate knowledge. Have you known things you can't explain? They say explain. I can't explain. You just know that's what you should do. Have you met people you know you should not meet again? The boy has not offended you, but you just know. What did you do? Nothing. My spirit just... No. How is it happening? How is it happening? It's by the unction. Amen. You just know all things. That scripture does not mean you don't need teachers. That's not it. It's deeper than that. It's just saying that you have capacity to be accurate. Are you together with me? Tell yourself, I have the capacity to be accurate. You have the capacity to be accurate. The story of one of our spiritual leaders is a father. The man was sick for many years, bedridden. Many years. Went to the hospital. The doctors didn't know what was going on. He was just very sick. Up and down, very sick. And one day, the anointing told him. Because he was trying to eat healthy. And there was a particular, wheat or something he was taking. But there was a chemical substance that was against his body system. And that was the cause of the disease. And when he stopped taking that stuff, he got healed. How? The anointing. It's not the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. So you have access to even natural information. Amen. Oh my God. So it means there is no foolish Christian. So you now understand when Jesus Christ said, if you call any man a fool, you are in the danger of hell. You call your brother a fool. It means that the Christian almost never cannot have the capacity to be foolish. If we can just calm down and enter inside, access to accuracy. May you have the peace that allows you to get information from inside you. I see many young folks, many Christians making too many errors, too many blunders, mistakes upon mistakes, not having wisdom. Are you together with me? Not having what? Wisdom. In the book of Acts chapter 6, there was a challenge in the church. They stole the apostles, there's challenge as per Philip. The apostle said, look for 12 men. Guess what? It was not God that told them to do that. It was the wisdom within them. Jesus Christ wanted to feed a lot of people. He said, let them sit in what? In 50s. What was that? Wisdom. You have an anointing. You know how to do things. You can just enter inside. You are setting up your technical stuff. You can just enter inside and find out what to do. Something is difficult. Something is not working out. You can enter inside. Somebody, tell somebody, enter inside.
Enter inside.
He said, if you want to pray, enter into your closet. There is information. You can enter inside.
Yeah.
And then they will not all the time they give you supernatural revelation. Sometimes they give you common sense. Because not every time is common sense common. Sometimes you can be blind to common sense. And you are just going, just enter inside. Perfect the act of entering inside. Am I together with you? Don't always respond based on how you feel. Enter inside. What do they want me to do inside? You will find out that the three of them, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they will tell you one or two things.
Sometimes they tell you calm down. Sometimes they tell you praise. Sometimes they tell you it's not a problem. Sometimes they tell you decree and declare. Sometimes they just tell you what to do. Sometimes they tell you do nothing. Sometimes they say don't fight. Something looks like warfare, battle. Satan has broken. Wow, I'm going to die. And they do you that. They just give you sight, 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 sight. People struggle because they don't enter inside. Anytime you are struggling, just drop everything and enter inside. Don't struggle in life. Huh? You see, when we were doing this thing, they thought we were lazy. We were entering inside. They were, oh, I'm okay, kira kita odola. We entered inside. Peter was walking all night, toiling. He didn't catch fish. If he had been filled with the Holy Ghost, he would have known there's no fish that night. Okay, all those energies he wasted that night, what will he account it for? Jesus now said, can I use your boat? It means that at that moment, that boat, you should have been cleaning it for tomorrow's service. There was no fishing that night. There's no, actually, in the spirit, there's no fishing that night. Some of you are struggling on issues that does not exist. God is saying, it's not today's matter. It's all stuff. There's another matter I want to focus on. By the time you finish this matter, because you see, some doors are opened by an opposite door. Some doors, the key is not in the doorknob, in the door. The key is in another door. So God will lead you to another door. You will think he's taking you away from your door. Go on, when you open that door, as you just open that door, you will just notice that door opens 5 doors. Hello, you smart. May you learn to walk with God. That what he calls important is what is important. You can't determine what is important. You can't. He's the one that puts what should be on your plate. If you're struggling, calm down, enter inside and say, and don't expect God to give you a big idea or a big solution because you think your problem is big. Many of us despise the wisdom of God because it is usually smaller than our problem. But you don't understand that it is God. Your problem is not as big as him. The only proof he can have to show you that it's bigger than your problem is that he gives you a stupid solution. Because your problem is small. So you can't have a big problem and they give you big solution. That means your problem and your God are the same level. So a man had leprosy all his life. He said, let you go and have his bath. And I said, Naaman, I said, I bath every day. I said, well, leprosy to me is not a big deal. I don't have to mix 10 chemicals. If I'm the one to heal leprosy, I won't mix 10 chemicals. I am God. No way. No way. Peter toiled all night. He has checked. He's a professional fisherman. He has checked all the waters. When Jesus was going to give him a solution, he didn't tell him that, you see, there are three kind of water. There's one kind of water. He didn't say, launch it deep. I've launched all night, but by your word. It's not the solution to your problems. It's not as big as your problem. It gives you a simple idea. And that's all. Are you together with me? So many of us expect something big. God says, you see the cataclysmic agenda of your end time nonsense. I'm telling you, God has almost never told me anything big. I'm telling you, the two guys. I'm a friend of God. I work with him. I know him. I hear his voice. I hear his voice regularly. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm not bragging. Neither am I sure whether I'm bragging or not. But I just said I'm not bragging. But I hear God stresslessly. Hearing God is common to me. I don't hear God all the time, but it's common to me. It's common. Flowing in the wisdom of God is common to me. Maybe it's common. It's not a stressful thing. I just need to enter the bathroom and come back. I will know what to do. And all the time, what he tells me is simple. Just say, thank me. Praise me. Give an offering. Don't talk about it again. I don't want to hear it on your mouth again. Disconnect. It's always simple. He does not have... It is when... Oh my God, I didn't know what to say. Oh my God. It's when we are thinking with our own edge that we try to create some very spectacular stuff because we think our problem is mighty. Where are we? Where are we? The unction. You have an unction. Can you really tell somebody in a way the person cannot doubt that you have an unction? Amen. And why is that important? Because the secret to the flow of power many times is wisdom. So when you open the door of wisdom, there's going to be an avalanche of power. Wow. So many people do not see the power of God in their life because they're not walking in the wisdom of God. Bible speaks about how David, how Moses, he said the children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses did what? He knew the ways of God. Now, the acts of God, the children of Israel knew. Who was producing it? It was Moses. But why come he was able to produce it? Because he understood the wisdom. Paul was speaking to another church. He said that, he told them, I couldn't, he was talking about how he flowed in the power of God for them. And he said, the reason he did that, he said, because he doesn't want their faith to be hinged on the wisdom of men. But he later now went further and said, but to the wise, he teaches them wisdom. So it means that Paul had a revelation of wisdom, but that particular church was immature, that he flowed in only power for them. And that church, but he himself understood wisdom, and that's why he could flow in what? In power. Am I making sense here now? Let me say this. When you don't understand the wisdom of God, the power of God will flow in your life as NEPA, on and off. Sometimes it will work, sometimes it will not work. But when you understand the wisdom, the power will always work. Listen, I've had many experiences in my life where different stories, where we needed to do something, and I would have to wait on God. God gives you wisdom, and by that wisdom, as I flow in that wisdom, the anointing is released, power flows. Sometimes you are casting a devil out of someone, and it doesn't go until you connect to the wisdom. Are you together with me? When you connect with the wisdom, and God says, this particular one is what you should do. And when you do that, then the power flows. Are you together with me? So power responds to what? To wisdom. Glory be to God. And your spirit has access to that wisdom. Revelation unlocks the anointing. In fact, revelation is an arm of the anointing. So we all need to go for it. Let me round off. Let me quickly round off. Or else I won't finish. So we all need to go for revelation. It's inside you. Tell somebody it's inside you. It's like today we are going to sing inside you. There's no way we're not singing. It's inside you. Are you listening to this? Are we listening to this? Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So let me round off. Let me tell you how to flow in it. You have it already. It's already inside you. Of course, we can't stop talking about prayer and Bible study. Pray till you have a breakthrough. Amen. Two kinds of prayer. Pray to have a breakthrough and pray always. Pray to have a breakthrough. That is, when you're in your prayer closet, pray to have. Some of you need to learn the art of praying in tongues. Time yourself. Tell yourself, I'm going to start by 15 minutes tongues every day. Take it to 20 minutes. Take it to 30 minutes. Take it to 1 hour. Pray in tongues every day. You pray till prayer happens to you. Do you understand? Pray till the Spirit take over. There are some dimensions you can't break into until you pray till the Spirit takes over. And the way to achieve that is, one of the ways is speaking in tongues. That's what tongues is for. Like, are you hearing that? That's what tongues is what is for. Pray until what? Something, until the Spirit takes over. It's one of the ways to pray until what? The Spirit takes over. And learn to do it personally, not just corporately. Personally. Are you with me? 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You see, you can't miss it in life if you have this kind of culture. You can't. Life will be cheap. 20, 30, 40, 1 hour, tongues. Put time. Don't worry, it's not canal. Put time. Maradabasha. Because you want to pray till the Holy Ghost. That time, all the flesh, all the inhibitions drops. Then everything becomes clear. He begins to speak to you and all of that. Then what he says becomes how you live. But the second one, which is as important as the first one, if not more, pray always. So it means that learn to always hear him when you are doing mundane things. You are walking on the road. Try to get a perspective. Don't allow only your intellect, your emotions to rule you. When somebody talks to you, when you want to reply, are you with me? When you want to reply, find out what the Holy Spirit is saying. Praise God. Find it out in your spirit. Check, calm down, relax. Check inside. Don't always speak. Don't always feel like. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Be spiritual. That's how the anointing flows. Don't talk. Calm down. And even when you are talking, try to stop talking too fast. Understand? Calm down when talking, because he can pick you. Because one of the plan of God for you is that he will give you a mouth and a wisdom. Do you understand? So your mouth is not enough. He needs to give you a mouth. So don't just brag and say, "Ah, me, I dey talk, oh, me, I dey talk." That's why you are foolish. Do you understand? You need to learn to allow him use your mouth. So calm down while talking. Don't allow your feeling to push you. Do you understand? So calm down. Talk gently. Choose your words. You must, your words must be the priceless things to you. You must choose it. Don't say what you would do. Don't always be the one to always apologize, because every time you leave where you are gone, the Holy Spirit will always rebuke you. You understand? How come you only hear rebuke? It's because you were not fellowshipping whilst you were engaging life. If you were engaging a man and you were still fellowshipping at the same time, the rebuke you'll be receiving will be reduced. So shut down your feelings, your emotions, and all of that, and allow the Lord take you through when you are engaging people. Do you understand? God, Pastor Ayodeji was talking about the tongue the other day. Do you understand? Guard it. Praise God. Never you forget that oil is everywhere. You are in the oil, and the oil is in you. You are in the oil is in you. In him, you live. If you decide to move, it's trouble. And in him also, you have your being. And just like Jesus, how God anointed Jesus and went about doing good. Every part of your life is anointed. It's anointed. It's anointed. And you have an unction inside you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
So I want us to take these teachings beyond just a good teaching. Let it become the philosophy that guides our life. Let's be led by it. And by next week, we'll come next week. And we'll have the part 2 next week. Oil everywhere. 2.